This is Scott Becker, the publisher of Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to have a very special guest. We've got Beverly Kuykendall, who's the president of government relationships for American Medical Depot. She's going to talk to us a little bit about their business and more about advice for women leaders, how she stays motivated, mentors, and more. Beverly, can you take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience?
Certainly, Scott. Thank you very much. Beverly Kuykendall, I'm president of government business for American Medical Depot. And American Medical Depot is a technology-driven medical supply distribution company. I've been with the company, I've been in the presence of the company, if you will, for about 25 years. Met the owners long ago when I had my own company. I've since merged with them. I shouldn't even call it a merger. They courted me out of the state of California into Florida, asked me if I would run their government business, and I've consented to do so. I was a consultant for them for many years, for about 17 years, and now I've come on as a full-time employee since January of 2013.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds like a great, great run and a long run, and it sounds like it's going nicely. Tell us just a little bit about the business and what you all do, and how did you get started yourself?
Well, American Medical Depot, as I said, when I talk about technology-driven, I like to make that point because people think of a distribution company as a company that moves boxes and moves product from one place to another. The technology is really the engine that allows the company to put forth very innovative solutions for our customers. It was started back in 1993 by two brothers, Akhil Agrawal, who is our CEO, and Sukrit Agrawal, who is the president of American Medical Depot. And we work really hard to differentiate ourselves in the medical products business. And so we focus on listening to our customers and then developing customized solutions. But it's much more about moving product. I met them many years ago. I did a lot of business, I should say, in Washington, D.C. The government in 1992 decided to reinvent itself. There were a number of companies across the country who were doing business along a certain protocol with the federal government. And the federal government decided to change that protocol. And they went from individual distributors, maybe hundreds of them. They decided that they wanted to be more efficient in the marketplace, and they were going to move that to three, only three, across the country. And so there were lots of opportunities that were going to be lost for small businesses under that particular type of protocol. And there were some laws already on the books, public law, that dictated exactly how the government should be conducting business. And this new protocol was not aligned with that. And so I went to Washington with a number of other folks, put forth an argument. The government decided, yes, this is correct. Here's what we're going to do. They pulled back that solicitation, and a number of companies other than just three had now had an opportunity to do business with the federal government. So that's kind of how I got started, and I've loved government sales ever since.
That's fantastic. Isn't that interesting that built a career out of government sales, government relationships? So who's a customer in the government? Who's a typical customer? Is it the federal government? Is it state governments? Is it others? Who is the customer?
Excellent question, because there is a distinction. So the federal government and the United States federal government is really considered the largest customer in the world. We focus on federal. I like federal because there's consistency in terms of the regulations, the procurement regulations. There's consistency with the way that you do business. There's some variations, but our customers consist of their 152 Department of Veterans Affairs hospitals across the country, and there's about a third of that number of Department of Defense medical treatment facilities across the country. And so we service those acute care facilities. You also have CDC, USAID, Health and Human Services, and of course DOD is comprised of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. So there's a plethora of customers that buy not only medical supplies, but products across the spectrum of industries.
And of the government agencies, this is an unfair question. I won't have you answer it. Which one's the easiest and the hardest to sell to? And it's sort of an unfair question because you have to work with all of them. So I won't force you to ask the question of who's easiest and hardest. But I will ask you the following question. What's your best advice for women leaders, for business founders? You're both. You're a woman leader. You're a business founder. Best advice for people leading businesses and women professionals, women leaders.
Well, just in general, first of all, there's no easy way to do business in the federal government, no matter who you're selling to, because the government is a very difficult mistress, I like to say. And so it's a wonderful challenge to be able to overcome. My best advice for women leaders and business founders is I have two pieces of advice that I think of often. One is that I tell women leaders to attend industry conferences, as well as those conferences that are focused on women's issues. Sometimes we have a tendency, because we're women, we want to go to women-based, women-focused types of conferences, but there's a lot of opportunity in attending general industry conferences that are non-traditional venues. For example, there's one that I really enjoy, South by Southwest, and it's traditionally a music festival, but it's morphed into a networking vehicle or venue for creative sources and people and companies across music, across the industries. They have a startup track that brings together founders and funders of all stages to talk about current business practices. And this track showcases the most exciting new companies, new products, new services, and new business models across many different industries. That is a great vehicle. And there are many, many more that's outside of your industry, within your industry, but really focused on creative, innovative outlets, because overlaying that with a business model leads to success.
But I love that advice, and just fascinating. And then another question for you is it when you meet with Donald Trump to go sell to him, is that difficult or okay?
Now, that's a question that I think I will plead the fifth. How about that?
Fair enough. I good enough. And then another question for you, Beverly, is how do you keep yourself motivated year in, year out? You've been at this now 25 years. You've done a magnificent job. How do you keep yourself excited about it, you know, every year, every day?
You know, I think everybody has to find something that they absolutely love. And whatever that is, you need to nurture it. And so I nurture my passions. I love autobiographies. I love Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Phil Knight. Their biographies have been really fascinating to me, and I love podcasts similar to yours. So one source of nurturing to me is the NPR podcast called How I Built This, and it interviews entrepreneurs that started companies from the very beginning, right? Companies like Yelp or Yapples or Peloton. I'm very interested in what was their motivation, what excited them, and that rejuvenates me when I have an opportunity to either visit with, or in one way or another, those companies, the founders, and their ideas.
Fantastic. And I'll ask you the question about Phil Knight, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk. Which of the three biographies did you love the most?
Elon Musk. And I think it's because he had quite a start within the federal government, and he actually sought a consultant in the federal government. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He understood the marketplace. He tried. He failed several times, made these huge trips to Europe and throughout the world, trying to source different types of assets for himself. And that was really intriguing to me. Anything federal government, I'm drawn to, because I understand what they're talking about, the difficulties, the challenges, and what they had to overcome in order to be successful. So I have to say Elon Musk was my favorite.
Well, that's fascinating. And then another question for you, fascinating. In terms of great mentors or business leaders that you admire, anybody that comes to mind, either side of that equation, the mentors or business leaders that you admire?
You know, this is probably a very non-traditional answer, but first of all, I'm very easily motivated. And I think for those of us who have to get up every day and face our passions and encourage and inspire other people, that you have to be easily motivated. And so when I see somebody who's so focused and they're passionate about what they're doing and they welcome new ideas, automatically that person becomes someone that I watch. So not an exciting answer, my mom. She saw what was possible along the horizon. And as I stood next to her as a child, peering, trying to see what she saw, I just couldn't do it, but I couldn't see it. But I did it anyway, and I look back now and I think whatever she was looking at and what she was guiding me towards, she was right. My business partners, Akhil Agarwal and Sukrit Agarwal, I've been close to them as mentors, even though I'm older than them both. I'm 12 years older than Sukrit. I'm 10 years older than Akhil. But I still consider them mentors. They are phenomenally bright, And they always think about different ways of doing things. And I believe that it's really important to look at the differences, to find people who think different than you do, to bring forth their ideas to your traditional ideas, and if that's the true meaning of success. So my mentors are my mom, Sukrit Agarwal, Akhil Agarwal, and many, many others. Sarah Sandberg, of course, great, someone that I don't know her, watch her, consider her a mentor, absolutely. Oprah Winfrey, absolutely, watch her. Melody Hobson of Ariel Investments, absolutely a mentor, I watch her. Don't know her, but watch every podcast and every public venue that I can in order to kind of learn from their ideas and be inspired by them.
Just fantastic. You're a pleasure to listen to, just inspiring yourself and motivating. One more question for you, Beverly. If this year goes well, what does that look like?
Well, AMD as an innovator has a number of irons in the fire at all times, right? We look for opportunities to develop solutions with strong initiatives that facilitate impactful change. That's really what we're all here for. We want to make sure that that we contribute to the changes that are coming about anyway to industry, because that's in our DNA. If this year goes well, a few of those irons will become hot and ready for use. So we've already tilled the soil. We've been around for almost 30 years. We've consistently fed our pipeline with new ideas. Some I can't really talk about, but I can tell you that we've got some exciting things on the horizon. And a couple of years ago, AMD was awarded a $1.3 billion contract by the federal government for Department of Veterans Affairs in order to provide distribution services to about 60 hospitals along the Eastern Seaboard. That particular contract is coming up for rebid, and DOD has some large initiatives, and we are poised and ready to go. Thank you for that question.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a magnificent size business and types of business, and it's, I scoff when you say only a $1.3 billion contract. That's only $1.2999 billion bigger than any contract I've ever done.
Understood. I tell you what, it takes a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and great teamwork, great motivators who understand how to really generate excitement within their troops so that we all march to the same sheet of music to achieve a particular goal. So that's what AMD does, and we're very good at it.
Well, you are fantastic to visit with, Beverly. It really was my pleasure to visit with you today. I thank you so much for joining us on this Becker's Healthcare podcast. We'll see if we can't at some point get you on a Becker Group Women's Leadership podcast, too. You're just a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. A pleasure to be with you as well. Have a good afternoon.
You too.